justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like to confirm that we do have a quorum today. I think we are almost everyone here. I believe the ethics director has an ethics spot, and I think she would like to make an administrative announcement.
Excellent. Thank you. Actually, since it's not a regular meeting, I didn't come prepared with an ethics spot, but I do want to make an administrative announcement. And that is, in order for the recording in this room to accurately and completely pick up all of our voices, we do ask that you speak directly into the microphone. If the light is red, it's on. Just to warn you. So you can press your button if you want to have it off while you're sitting at the table, and then press it back on if you wish to speak. And when you speak, if you'll lean up or bring the mic closer to you so that the audio recording can capture you, that would be wonderful. We'd appreciate that.
Thank you. That was the extent of your administrative comment?
That was it.
I thought that was your ethics.
So
transparency in action, Dylan.
The second item on our agenda is new business, and I believe the ethics director can talk to us a little bit about our need to engage in some strategic planning.
Thank you so much, and welcome to 2025. It's a new year, and we have some new commission members that you all have, I think, previously met. But it might be a good opportunity before we kick off the strategic planning to let everybody get acquainted and just say hi, maybe introduce yourselves as we go down the line, say a little bit about yourself and who appointed you to the commission, how long you served, and maybe that will help us frame our strategic plan.
I can start. I'm Leah Palestrans, and this is my second year serving on the Ethics Commission, and I was appointed by the commission.
Scott Simpson, appointed by the commission. I am entering my third year with the Ethics Commission, and retired Navy, working for GE Aerospace now.
I am Linda McCallum. I was appointed by the Chief Judge, and I am a retired Circuit Court Judge, and I have absolutely no idea how long I've been on the commission, just a little bit shy of him, so whatever he says.
Long enough to be reappointed, so over 3 years.
I think it's 4.5 years. So.
Yeah, okay.
Good afternoon, I'm Eric Freiberger. I was appointed by the City Council. I've served since 2020, so I guess that makes it, this is my fifth year.
All right, I'm William Mall. I have the pleasure of serving as Vice Chair this year, and I was appointed by the Public Defender, Charlie Cofer, and I don't know how long I've been on. I was trying to figure that out.
This is
2025, so 3 years.
Yeah, it's just your third year.
I can't believe it's been that long. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Time
for
me.
Have fun.
Hi, I'm Robin Blank. I'm just starting my second year.
Hi, I'm Sean Mahalo. I am a new member of the commission. I'm excited about it, and I was appointed by the commission.
I'm David Thompson. I've been here about the 2 weeks I've been appointed this year, and I was appointed by Sheriff T.K. Waters. I'm a personal injury attorney at Fair and Fair.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm Kirby Aberdorfer. I'm the ethics director for the City of Jacksonville. I've had the distinct honor and privilege of serving in that particular role since October of 21. So a little over 3 years, if I'm doing my math right, but I went to law school, so I didn't have to do math. And before that, I served as deputy director in the office since 2015, and prior to that, I was a member of the Ethics Commission from 2007 to 2012. And to my left.
I'm Paige Johnston. I'm the ethics attorney. I've been with the office a little over 2 years now. I've been with the city since 2012, and prior to being with the ethics office, I was with the Office of General Counsel.
And I'm Dylan Reingold, Chief Deputy General Counsel. I've been here with the Ethics Commission for basically almost the full 8+ months I've been here. I was with the Office of General Counsel from 2005 to 2013, then served as the Indian River County County Attorney from 2013 to 2023, took a hiatus to do some things, and came back to the city. City of Jacksonville in April, and since then I've been serving as the attorney to the board since April of 2024.
And I'm Sandy Homerhouse, and I'm the executive assistant in the ethics office. So I've been here, I'm not sure how long I've been here. A little bit longer than Paige, but
yeah,
not as long as Kirby.
4 years.
In between.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you everyone for introducing yourselves. So in the spirit of the new year, you have a new year to plan whatever initiatives or strategic items might be of a interest and passion for you all. So it's been quite some time since the Ethics Commission engaged in some strategic planning. We did a little bit of research, and it looks like they perhaps maybe did this back in 2018. So 7 years goes by quickly. And in light of the fact it's been some time since the Commission has engaged in strategic planning, but also in light of the changes to your duties effectuated pursuant to state law and the bill that passed last year, Senate Bill 7014, we wanted to bring before you your strategic plan that we have created in front of you and provided for you, and get you to kind of do a deep dive into your duties and align them with the best practices of the federal sentencing guidelines. And then the third panel you'll see on the strategic plan is something called Blue Ribbon Program Goal Managing. And that is off of the Ethics and Compliance Institute. It's a national professional association of ethics and compliance professionals in all realms of the ethics world, from corporate Fortune 500 companies to academia to practitioners to people in state and local governments. And so they looked at all of the ethics and compliance programs across the country, and they came out around 2017 or so with a Blue Ribbon Report of what are the attributes of best practices, programs of ethics programs that are really highly functional and highly effective. And so these are some of the things that came from them, and we married them up with your duties and the federal sentencing guidelines, best practices, and the federal sentencing guidelines are actually the foundation of every ethics program in the country. That's how they got their start, was through the federal sentencing guidelines. So we bring that to you today for consideration. As you're looking over it, you might see that under the first column is Chapter 602. These are your duties. So these have not been updated since your duties were updated. So this has to be tweaked a little bit. So for instance, in the first line, you'll see it says, A, receive or initiate complaints. Well, we all know that under the new law, you can't initiate complaints. So that will have to be taken out. So this column, Chapter 602, needs to be changed a little bit to reflect your new duties, which we have included in your binder for you under your ethics code tab. You'll have the duties that you have set forth in the charter section, and then right after that you'll have the legislation that passed that sets forth your new duties and amends part of your duties in section 602, number 21. And the reason that this is in legislative form and not in code form is because the code hasn't been fully updated to incorporate these changes, although this passed council last year. Just on the online website.
Are you talking about that amended, or you put amended by 13?
No, I'm talking about under the tab. You should have a blue sticking out, or yellow, or some color.
Yeah,
that code.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so the first part is the charter duties, and then after that are your code duties. But you'll see that it's not codified. It's still in the legislative format because the online code is still waiting to be updated. Yes?
I just want to ask procedurally, how would you suggest is the best way to go through this? Each first go to the duties, which would be Chapter 602, and then
is it really entirely up to you all? This actually hasn't really been ever approached by the commission in a full meeting, and so it's really up to you all whether you want to start with your duties and talk about them individually and then refer back to the chart, or you want to start with the chart and go into your duties however it you feel best.
I think one of the problems is so many of our duties have been severely restricted by possible conflict law that was passed 7-1-4. So it's is it simply a case of it's not simply a case of revising the language that you're suggesting, but we need to update what we intend to do? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, so the language definitely needs to be updated, but it's a good opportunity for you all to take a look at the duties that you have in light of the changes. And the changes were to your complaint functions, but you do have other functions under your duties in Chapter 602, Part 921. And just for you all to have a more in-depth conversation about what your areas of strategic focus might want to be and how you want to implement them.
Perhaps as we don't try and take on too much at one time, maybe we really should just start with the top line and discuss how that's changed and how we want to address it this year. And after we get through that clunky procedure, then we may decide that maybe that's not the way to go. But in the interest of time and kind of tackling the beast, that might be a simple way to get started.
I think that's a great suggestion, Scott. Mm-hmm.
So we know that top line A, we have to strike out initially when we're initiating any kind of complaints. That's pretty much the only change to the RDB there, correct? And then get rid of that anonymous reporting because we don't have
correct.
That anymore. Are we allowed, are you allowed to have surveys asking employees about the climate of the, I don't see that anymore. Are we allowed to do that?
About
if you look at A, the
climate.
Top line, to do surveys of the employees.
Ask employees about ethical climate commitment, additional risk, and local rules.
Does the city do a cultural survey each year?
Not to my knowledge.
Are we permitted to do that? That's the question. Not do we do it, but are we allowed to do it?
I don't see it here in the Chapter 2 ethics. That we're allowed to do that, but
if you look at the measure being the number of complaints received, to me a survey wouldn't contribute to that measure. That would just be what comes in on the hotline.
Right, but this could be useful for feedback for education. If it turns out that a survey yields information that the ethical climate suggests there are all kinds of other rules that skirt towards potential violations, it might be something that we want to take on in
mm-hmm.
education.
In a different community, yeah.
So I'm just going back to basic principle 101. I'm looking at 1.2.02 of the charter, in which it says the ethics code shall provide for an independent ethics commission whose membership shall have appropriate subject matter expertise and which shall. So one, you're going to manage a ethics hotline, so we've got that issue. We've got to manage and coordinate the training and education of officers and employees. Three, we have the authority to refer ethics matters to appropriate enforcement agencies. Four, there's the recommended changes in legislation to City Council in the areas of the following, and then you have jurisdiction to levy those civil fines and penalties, and then you act as a hiring committee for the administrative staff. You then, as Kirby pointed out, and I'm assuming this hasn't changed since 2014, the charter of language.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then you have your duties and powers section, which then flows from that. As long as you've got one of the things you're looking to do falls within those categories, then I think you're good, but I just would want to make sure we stay and pinpoint a category to which you're thinking of doing something. And so that just leads me to the extent you're doing a survey of ethical behavior of the city and the like, which it would be interesting to understand which one of those categories you think that falls in.
This is a related point, not a related point, excuse me. Are we still going to have a hotline? Do we still have a hotline?
There is still a hotline, yes.
And the purpose of that is then to inform people who maybe wish to make a complaint how to do so.
Correct.
So I think actually having, we have to get rid of that anonymous reporting, including hotlines. So I do think we can do surveys asking them about the environment of the office under several of our categories. One is the received complaints. I think it could be there. But also in our recommending changes to legislation and also in our input and providing city ethics training programs. So I think the idea of having a survey for employees about the ethical climate and any issues that they would like to be further educated on would fit in that arena.
Or we feel they need to be further educated on.
True.
Based on the results of the survey.
Gary, can you remind me that column with the federal sentencing guidelines, how that applies again? I remember you talking about the Blue Ribbon program, how that was organized. Remind me again what the federal sentencing guidelines, how that column applies.
Yeah, absolutely. So the federal sentencing guidelines form the basis of all of the ethics and compliance programs in the country. And that is what led essentially to later on the ECI developing as a professional association, a conglomeration of all these ethics and compliance and individuals and offices throughout the country. So it's kind of the foundation that has best practices. And really, it's not an apples-to-apples application to government agencies, because the federal sentencing guidelines apply this in criminal cases where they're looking at fraud and other activities that might occur within a company, and they're looking at the company's liability for it. And so these are some of the measures that they have, the mitigating measures that they're looking at, and whether or not to actually prosecute the company. And so but those are the foundations for the recommendations and the Blue Ribbon panel. So that's why they're kind of married up there.
So that's essentially just recommendations of how we as an organization might operate.
Correct.
Okay.
From a best practices
right.
standpoint.
Yeah.
And then the Blue Ribbon is kind of the same thing as well. Just if you were going to be the best commission you could be, this is what.
Right. If you're going to have the best ethics and compliance program, the highest effective ethics and compliance program in the country, these are the attributes of those.
Of course, we cannot have employees confidentially report issues. Right?
Not to you.
So
right,
that
so
would mean
not
confidentially.
So we could say maintain maintain a hotline and issue surveys asking employees about ethical climate commitment and issue reports and other reports. I mean, maintaining a hotline is having the ethics office maintaining a hotline is what we're already doing. So
right.
No issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to basically strike the word anonymous.
Yep.
And change the language to maintain a hotline and conduct surveys.
Which we want to do, right? I mean, this is the idea. What do we want to do? And we think we want to do that.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. To your point, I think that the if we go down the path of surveys, I think it falls under A because it allows for intakes of allegations. And so survey, that's the point of the survey, is to see are there issues or concerns. Now, we can't act on those as a commission because those surveys are likely anonymous, but that would be an opportunity for the ethics office to find out if there is more there, if they were willing to make a sworn in statement to go back to the employees. Of course, that would be hard because, again, it's anonymous. So maybe all you get from that is an understanding of your culture, which will inform your training.
So that's what I think actually falls into number two, the training and education. If we know what the landscape is of the employees, we can see baseline if we've grown in the beginning of the year, and then what trainings maybe need to be done more, done to other offices.
sensitive to the survey issue, but I, my suggestion is just as the safest practice of this would be something along the lines of, you definitely have the authority and power to help. I have the phrase up here on my phone. Manage and coordinate the training and education of local officers, employees in the state, and local ethics. And then you also have the ability to provide comments to legislation to city council. I would think you might want to craft any potential surveys or direct staff to start working on some surveys that were more along the lines of, hey, what do you think, like, as aspects of ethics code you think we could do a good, better, not a better job, but we would like to learn more about? Like, what parts of things would you think would be good for us to help teach you more about? People would say, hey, I think we've heard a lot about gifts, we're pretty strong there, but I haven't heard as much about conflict of interest. I'm just making up topics. And that way, that might inform us as, hey, what are our good educational tools we could do? I'm just cautious of anything that makes it sound like a reporting or a complaint process that seems to appear to circumvent what the state is.
I'm not talking about circumventing the state law. I'm talking about informing people about what their rights are if they are disturbed. I'm just making it clear. It could be part of the information that's purveyed with that document or that instrument that indicates to people what their options are. If they choose to file a complaint.
There's a fair point there. I mean, in the instructions or at the end of the survey, there could be a paragraph that discusses if you feel that there a violation has taken place, you may report it through these means, through this method. I think that's training.
Yeah, no, I think that's dead on. And I saw that. I think that's important to distinguish that between sort of a survey question and just information that we're providing to folks.
Does the personnel office for the city, HR, do they do an annual climate survey of any kind?
Not to my knowledge.
I mean, you would probably be filling it out yourself if you did do one, so I would assume that those of you employed by the city would know.
Right. I don't recall sending one, filling one out, but that is potentially something that you, one of you could have a discussion with them about.
I didn't necessarily want to keep talking about it. The city already did.
Yeah.
Right.
Tonight is aspirational, maybe about the overview and survey.
Yeah.
Right? We don't have to drill in when, what, how for the survey. It's just that maybe sometime this year or in the future, we would like to do a type of command or a climate survey. That's where we are, right? Okay, yeah, so yeah, survey would be, especially if the city's not doing one already, would probably be a good idea.
I just wanted to mention, because of the changes in legislation, the way that reporting needs to be done is different. And I don't know if everyone knows that yet. So I do think it could be a matter of saying, like, do you know how to file an ethical complaint? Like, actually knowing that is really important, because if not, that has implications for the training we're doing and who we're making sure that. So maybe just making sure everyone's competently knows how to do a complaint, even and with the new legislation, they can't do it anonymously anymore.
Indeed. Sounds good. Good point.
Can I ask a procedural question? Do we need to do motions and seconds and all? If we decide as a group that we want to conduct a survey and that hasn't been done and we want to start doing that, does that need to be a motion and a second? And how do we go?
Well, I could see it in two different ways. I certainly could see the board today as part of its strategic planning idea is just simply through consensus directing staff, hey, here are some of the ideas we'd like you to work on. Kirby Page, coordinate with Dylan, bring something back to us, you know, in X amount of time. And that might just be a good way to do that. I would think then you would have a formal product in front of you. And at that point, it would be more along the lines of, I move to approve the thing or with the following amendments, and then that might be more formal. So I think today, more consensus based on, hey, what kind of direction do you want to start giving us? But Kirby and Paige, if you guys feel like you need more direction, I welcome your thoughts.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I agree with everything that Dylan just said. The only thing that I would add is, if you all are interested in either issuing a survey yourselves or somehow collaborating with or having discussions with employee services about a climate survey that they might do or something to that effect, I would welcome additional direction and your thoughts on what would be included, what you would be asking for, how maybe you would want want that done, and to have maybe a committee take charge of that.
I think that's something that's going to take a lot more work, and I think at this stage, this is a strategic plan. I think we need to sort of say, okay, we're planning on conducting a survey, we can flesh that out later.
No, definitely.
So along this line, so we'll kind of keep moving. I think right now, did you have something you wanted to say later?
No.
Okay. Looking at received complaints, the line, if you will, of received complaints. So we discussed a climate survey. What are some other things that we think strategically that we want to do this year? I would offer it might be useful to have some. I know you're already doing data collection, but it might be useful for us to consciously, intentionally talk about the difference that we've seen over the past X number of years between what we find this year. Because I think that it's fairly intuitive that we're not going to see as many complaints this year. And so I think some compare and contrast, assuming perhaps that we don't successfully lobby for a law change in 2025, having the data to continue that argument moving forward, I think would be very, very useful.
That's a great point. I agree.
So where would that go? Which one is the last one?
I think I'm just on the top line. When I think about complaints, what are things that we as a commission want to try and accomplish this year? Because there's so little that we can accomplish. What do we want to try and think of or do that might help shape that in the future?
So essentially, we want to, in additional committee goals, we want to maintain data on the changes from the time of the previous law to the amendment, which would be for complaints, I would say.
I think that's a starting point.
So in our measures, do we have any other measure other than number of complaints? Probably not. And number of surveys? Number of complaints and number of surveys? Received?
Right, that's kind of.
So how would you phrase that? Receive complaints and maintain a record of the number of complaints received before and after the change in the law?
Just to maintain the data on the.
Which is something that you're already going to do, but it's something that we should be discussing and already.
To the commissioner's point, in terms of what data we're collecting, you talked about number of complaints. You talked about the second one you said.
The surveys.
Surveys. Maybe a third one, and maybe you already do this, is just the number of presentations that Kirby and Paige do in a year on stuff. I mean, I've been at several boards and events where either Kirby or Paige are making a presentation to some council. So maybe a directive from you guys is, as part of your management of training for the folks, is, hey, let's try to beef up good quality training across all of the sorts of councils and communities.
That's a good point.
And track that.
Yeah, number of presentations or number of people reach educational opportunities.
That might fall nicely into the fifth row.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So I don't see any purpose for us to have that third column, the blue ribbon program goal. And does that need to be in our strategic planning?
I think the usefulness of it, honestly, is it's food for us if we want to make a case back to our state legislators that this is the gold standard. And we're not doing that now. I think that's where I see it. Usefulness is, it's actually highlighting what we're not doing that we all agree, I think, that we ought to be doing.
But we have no control over that.
No, that's.
We have no control
right.
over that entire column.
But we want to make that argument, I think. I think as a commission, we ought to be, as a city, we ought to be making that case back to the state that, hey, can we do something a little more measured? Than what we're doing right now.
I think that's a very good point, Scott. Thank you. So we could, what you're suggesting, if I understand it correctly, is we just leave that in there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's, if this is a distraction, we can certainly take it out. It's not like we can't collect that data or get that information. But.
Well, I'm not even sure we could. We don't know if the employees are competently reporting issues or whether there is no retaliation at their offices or whether leaders are responding. But
well,
I mean, I do think we leave that in there.
But that can go to the survey.
Yeah, we find that out as a result.
I think we think your point as well.
Is there any other items that we want to try and strategically do this year with regard to complaints before we move on to something else? I don't know, Kirby, is there a vehicle for us to communicate, at least locally, with our own state legislators here?
Yes, there is. There's a office in the city, the Duval delegation, and they help to manage and coordinate communications with our local delegation leaders, and then you certainly are welcome to reach out to them. I do have a very brief update for you about the status of Senate Bill 7014. I was copied on some emails from other her director, I think in West Palm County, that talked about a potential interest in trying to file a repeal bill, not the commission itself, but a potential legislator might be interested in doing that. And so I don't know whether or not that will be filed and what the status of that bill and how it would be received by the legislature. That would be needing a crystal ball that I don't have. But I also can share with you that yesterday the general counsel and the executive director for the State Ethics Commission appeared before the Senate Elections and the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee, and they were asked about the implementation of Senate Bill 7014 and the requirement that complaints be based upon personal knowledge or information other than hearsay. And there seemed to be support amongst the committee members in favor of the change in the law. And they were also asked about local organizations within the state of Florida's compliance with the new law. So that's something that the legislature, at least the Senate committee, seems to be interested in.
Would it be possible to add, again, it's something we want to do. I mean, do we want to try to lobby to try to change that law?
Well, I'm going to insert myself again. I know I do this way too much at our meetings.
Why are you here?
I'm just going back through your powers under 1.202 of the ethics code. One of the concerns I have is it says recommended changes, and certainly Paige and Kirby are so much more knowledgeable of what's in 602. So if there's something different in here, let me know. This just doesn't have a lot of words, so I'm actually able to read it. Is that you can recommend changes in legislation to city council in the areas of ethics laws and administration, conflicts of interest, hotline policies, ethics education, ethics and procurement campaign, ethics and lobbying. My only concern in here is that your directive is to go through city council for any legislative changes, arguably either here locally or at the state. I'm just concerned that if you were as a commission going to legislators in Tallahassee or the like, that might be viewed as deviating from the scope of what powers you have. But certainly if there's something in 602 that says contrary to that, I would welcome that.
Well, we can certainly do that as individuals.
And I apologize. I'm happy for that as individuals. I would be more concerned if, like, the Ethics Commission voted 6-1 to, do X, Y, that the legislature do X, Y, and Z. I would think it'd be more appropriate to say our motion was to have city council support whatever changes, and then they may do some sort of resolution.
I wonder if, in that case, we can ask the city's ethics office to collaborate with other ethics directors around the state to further pursue that effort. That way it's not coming from the commission. The ethics office itself is simply collaborating with other offices, and the commission isn't taking any action at all.
I certainly see it's definitely the role of the ethics office to understand the law, educate themselves on it, if there are changes that are going on, to keep up to speed. So absolutely, they're going to be, and as Kirby has said to me before, hey, we were coordinating with other offices to see how they interpret this. I'm a little bit concerned if they start stepping into the range of an advocacy level. I just want to make sure I keep you guys in good water, and I keep them out of hot water as well.
And I just wanted to add something to the advice that Dylan was given. You might recall that this issue arose last year when the commission was going to issue the letter to the governor encouraging him exactly what Dylan said. You all don't have the authority to do that as a body, but you do have the authority to do it individually as citizens.
Oh, good. It's good to know I was consistent with my
sure.
boss.
You're consistent with your boss. A gold star.
But I did add in, and I think it is important to note, is that nothing stops you from providing your guidance to City Council. And so to that regards, certainly going to City Council, you know, as a board, you could say, hey, look, let's look at some of these things, and this is our recommendations on how that might play out. I don't want to curtail that at all.
Yeah. And we did have City Councilman Matt Carlucci. He came to a few of the meetings, and he was on City Council at the time, and was sort of felt the same way we felt with some of these changes, right?
Yeah, he was very helpful.
Okay. So you're going to do that same thing with, I know he's not around anymore.
No. Matt Carlucci
is
still on.
Oh, he's still on the council?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, then
I was going to say that he stepped down.
Is his son on the council as well?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Got it. They're both on.
Yes,
I thought one school for the other.
It's very odd, but yes, they're both on.
All right, got it.
One serves in a district capacity, and one serves in an at-large capacity.
Thank you.
And just a funny note about that, they cannot vote on an increase in their salaries, not because it benefits themselves, but because it would benefit a family member.
Oh, that's funny. So looking at the line about investigate issue findings for violations, it seems like that's all in line. If a violation actually makes it to us through a sworn written statement, then we would certainly follow the code and carry out a grievance.
Yeah, that second line doesn't look like we need to change anything.
Same thing for third line, really, levy fines.
Agreed.
All right. Hotline's already established, and now it has some limitations, but it's there.
Has it been updated to reflect
the changes
in legislation?
Has what been updated?
The hotline. Now that it's just when you call, it's just information about how to.
No, so when you call, somebody answers it.
So
there's no update because the update is, there's an update to the extent that it comes from the person, which is me, so answers the phone.
Yeah, there's not a call center in Pakistan. Yeah. That, like.
I thought it was just like an automated message.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, just a call center.
We had general questions about ethics as well. So we just kind of answer questions the best of our ability.
And we get a good number of things that are not ethics related. There are a lot of employment related or questions about city processes or procedures, and so we'll do the best that we can to point people in the right direction.
So on that fourth line, the second column, anonymous reporting, including hotline and surveys, how might we change that to comply with the change in the law?
Well, that's just a recommendation from federal guidelines. That's not really anything that we need to change. It's just their recommendation.
In the original, the language was the same for received complaints as it was for that one, so we can have the same language. Maintain a hotline and conduct surveys, the exact same language that's used before, and that would make sense to whatever language we put in the first one, we use in this one.
Mm-hmm. How about the fifth row?
Is there anything different we would want to do with training than we've been doing? I think we've already talked about needing to train the city employees.
We preserve the right to make suggestions here. So I think what we're saying is assist and provide input. I mean, again, I think we you know, sketch out what we aim to do and we can fill in the particulars later.
I think someone mentioned in that line we could add to the training things that come to our attention via the surveys, and also in terms of measures to count the number of presentations. Right now we're just doing the training evaluations, but maybe we look at the number of presentations. I think someone mentioned that. I can't remember.
the number of work that we do and the number of people trained.
Right.
And God knows, my boss knows how many dumb ideas I come up with every day. But in terms of monitoring training, would anyone be interested in watching what Paige and Kirby and I do when we do one of these trainings?
You've invited us before.
Yeah.
Okay. I just did a training for the Mayor's Disability Council on Sunshine Law and Public Records Law.
Yeah.
And I know Kirby and I do joint meeting and Paige do joint trainings. I don't know if it's the type of thing where one or more of you would want to go and just listen and then at a meeting just say, hey, we watched the thing. Dylan, it might be helpful if you more focus on this or less on this. And Kirby, I don't know.
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. You're inviting a critique?
Like I said, I come up with bad ideas every day. I'm happy for them to be swatted down and certainly happy for critiques.
We have been frequently invited, as Leah pointed out, and I think it's a question of time and availability.
Yeah.
But I think those are excellent suggestions, and I see no reason why we couldn't do that in the future. But I don't think we need to change anything written here to accomplish those things.
Right. I think just continuing with those invitations would be appreciated so that when we do have the opportunity to attend, we can.
Is this the appropriate time to talk about committees?
I was just going to that.
Maybe you go first.
Yeah,
you were probably thinking. I'm looking at our committees, and I do not see any reason why we should have a legislative and an open government committee. I think their functions are the same. And rather than split people up into more committees, I suggest that we just have a legislative committee, then that would encompass all the roles that both of them do. And the only reason I brought that up now is because open government is marked here, and legislative is marked someplace else. So that's just my suggestion.
I was going to suggest similarly, but having complaints, obviously we need to say that, maybe open government and legislative combined, and then also maybe a third committee could be training and education, and they could be the people that maybe do more work on the survey as it comes to light.
Like the internal operator.
Like a third committee that's not listed here. Yeah.
I guess
internal operator.
There is actually one for that. That's just on the page.
Yeah, it just doesn't have a duty. It doesn't have anywhere to go. But it could be there in that training one. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I assume we can do that to get rid of the committee?
If you revise your internal operating procedures, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, certainly the commission has the power to determine the committees and how it wants to apportion its work among the various committees.
Perhaps we should suggest in our strategic plan, consider collapsing those two committees. We're not going to do it today.
No, we're not going to do it today.
Review committee structure.
Yeah, perfect.
You can delete one comment, you're done.
So moving on to the evaluate select, I don't think we can change there. And I talked about this final one here just a few minutes ago, and in terms of the format with which we would offer our recommendations and how they would flow to the City Council.
And just as a reminder, this says charter, and it isn't a charter, but now this is one of your duties in the code as well.
The legislative.
Yes, the last one. It's 921C.
Well, maybe under the guise of that, I mean, as Bill had suggested earlier, we could speak to the City Council and suggest that they support the changes, you know, explain why we think that the changes that were made under Law 7014 are hampering our ability to do our jobs. And perhaps, you know, lobbying could explain to them the need for that. Because I found when like, oh, great, this gives the Ethics Commission off our backs. This prevents people from making claims that we violated ethics rules, which they saw as favorable. And I think maybe we could talk to them, or you know, we have the right to talk to them, as you indicated, about how inefficient it is and how troubling it is, because it prevents us from effectively doing what we're here to do. Any thoughts?
If I may propose that as a commission we need to decide how proactive we will be. I know 4 years ago I worked very hard to create some legislation to go to City Council to address some of the campaign violation issues, and strategically it didn't go forward. So we have to decide, are we going to be strategic and then hold it forever because we don't think it'll pass, or are we going to just go ahead and put it forward and if they don't pass it, they don't pass it? Are we going to force the vote, or are we going to sit back and, you know, handhold and decide when is the best time? And as a commission, I think we have to decide which kind of commission we want to be, because there are issues that we should and could be proposing legislation, and we haven't because of, you know, we don't think it might pass. And it might not, but what do we want to do? Do we want to go for it and let the vote be held, or do we want to just...
I think we should. I personally think we should suggest what we think is appropriate and then see what, you know, if it doesn't succeed, it doesn't succeed. I mean, I think it's important that we as a commission, because we've never had a lot of power, we now have less power. But we stand for something, and I think it's important that we put out publicly what we stand for and what we believe in.
Yeah, I agree. Strategic plan, be more aggressive with our legislation, be more vocal going forward than we have been in the past. I think that's the spirit of the commission we have now. It's a little more, I mean, it's a chance to do it our way. It's the newest makeup of people since I've been here. I think, based on my experience listening to different folks, that we have an aggressive group of folks who are not shy about how we feel and what we want to see happen.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think the one thing that I might devil's advocate for a moment on one specific issue being 7014, right? That was the state bill. Well,
yes, 7014.
There has to be some self-interest for the folks who actually do the legislating, and so I don't think there is self-interest for change at this moment because they just did it. And so I think on that particular case, a little bit of time has to develop for opportunities where action should be taken and isn't can be documented and categorized and shown that, well, we would love to help. Can't. And I think that's going to be one of the most powerful cases that we can make back to our own city council and do. And then as, you know, different cities across the state make to the state itself, is when we can demonstrate through facts that the law is actually preventing us from doing what we all exist to do.
Yeah, I think that falls under data collection.
Yes,
we'll
exactly.
Talk about complaints.
And I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I'm not saying we shouldn't send the city council a note that says, hey, we really think you guys need to advocate for change. But I think that the data collection piece is what's going to help us actually make a more powerful case for that.
I mean, there might be something short of proposing actual legislation that is, as you point out, likely to be shot down in this moment. But perhaps we could explain why we are concerned and just talk to City Council.
Absolutely.
Without necessarily proposing actual specific legislation.
And I didn't mean to shoot down the idea of proposing much. I'm not saying we should propose it. I wanted to point out that in order to win that argument, there will have to be self-interest on the other side.
No, it's a very, very good point. Thank you.
And I'm not even talking about this legislation. I'm talking about that since I've been on this commission, two issues have been paramount for the legislative committee, and that's been, one, proposing some sort of ordinance regarding the use of city government assets for your And that's been, the commission has discussed this ad nauseum. And there's also been the issue of gifts and how to deal with gifts. And that was another area that, for as long as I've been on here, we've been talking about that. And so, but we haven't done anything. So I'm not even talking about this legislation.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in general. Do we, you know, and I'm not proposing one way or the other. I'm just saying, I think if we're doing the strategic plan as a commission, we should decide, is that legislative committee actually going to take action and propose things or not? You know, are they going to just, are we going to politic it or are we going to go for it? And no decision today, just something to think about.
Well, if you ask me, I think we should go for it.
Propose legislative changes.
That's what we're here for.
Period.
Okay.
And then look at what we can propose, find something to propose, even if it's, you know.
Who knows what might come up throughout the year, too.
Right.
So on that final row, are there changes required?
We could just scratch out charter, but we don't even have to do that because it's in the code.
The only notes I made were just kind of some of the details that we talked about, just in terms of encouraging the city council. Carrying forward legislation like the judge is talking about, actually moving some of those things out of committee and moving them into recommendations. So no, I don't think there's anything to add. I think we just act on what we already have.
As to the committees, it seems like we can add on the bottom row in the committee, the internal operating committee, and also on the row about assist, provide input to city ethics, we could also add that internal operating committee because we're going to, if we want to make some changes. That was the only.
I'm sorry, which rows are those?
The 1, 2, 3, 4. The fifth row down and the last row. It just seems like that committee might be involved in the processes as well.
So where do we insert consider changes to committees?
Does that have to be approved by the legislative city council if we make changes and things like that?
To your committee structure?
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Part of your bylaws.
Maybe we make a motion for a committee to be appointed to review the committee?
That
well,
sounds
so entertaining.
I think at this point, since we're doing a strategic plan, we talked about inserting it. I'm just saying, what row?
I don't know that there's a row that this fits on. I think it's just something we add a note to that this is what we're doing this year. I have a feeling someone's already written it down under here.
Yep, I created a new role actually that said at the bottom, review committee charter.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
We have to have everything in its place.
Anything that doesn't fit in any of this stuff that we've talked about so far that we think we ought to be considering this year.
I'm sure we'll think of something after the meeting.
Says have a plan for knowledge and serious misconduct by senior officials. Is that something we've had before or something's in place or is that just a recommendation?
Yeah.
I missed what you were saying.
Under blue ribbon program goal managing down at the bottom,
uh-huh.
It says have a plan for acknowledging serious misconduct by senior officials. Is that something that was done or have, like, is there a plan somewhere in the file cabinet?
This is part of the Blue Panel report from the Ethics and Compliance Initiative that are attributes of the highest performing and effective programs. So it was just a recommendation. I don't know if the city has one.
Does that stay on our strategic plan? Does that stay on this document?
We want to be part of the Blue Ribbon status.
we thought that including that would help.
I mean, should we have a plan if there, we are investigating a, you know, a serious, a senior official's misconduct? Should we have a plan?
Well, I think maybe we want to talk to the former ethics director about her plan during the JDA scandal.
Sure.
I mean, that would be, I don't know if she had a plan per se,
yeah,
but that's certainly what she did.
Right. I mean, it seems like we should have some. I mean, she did do that, but she kind of did it without direction. She did a great job, but should we have a plan? Kirby, what do you think about that? If, for instance, another JA
depends what the misconduct is. We'll have a plan depending on what
this happens tomorrow.
Yeah, so I would need to really think about that. I haven't thought about it. One of the things that comes to mind is anything that you all would do relating to serious allegations or serious misconduct by senior officials would have to come to you in terms of a complaint.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And then when they do come in terms of a complaint, they're, of course, protected from disclosure. So I'm not sure how that would meld with acknowledging it. I'm not sure that that's the function or the role of the commission, but I would want to think about that. And I wouldn't want to, obviously, neither would you, jeopardize the confidentiality of the statutes.
Well, you kind of sort of just described the plan, actually. So, I mean, the plan would be that it's going to be handled in accordance with the code and the law, and that we're not going to acknowledge it, we're not going to speak to the press about it. It's going to be handled the way we handle it.
Yeah, and I think the purpose from the Blue Ribbon panel is about inculcating an ethical culture and letting people across the organization, regardless of their role, know that the organization addresses misconduct consistently as they can, and being and relaying to other people within the organization, and whether or not that's a fit for the city. Certainly would be a policy call that might be outside the realm of the Ethics Commission.
Well, and then on top of that, and I'm kind of stepping out again, is I think it's been our general policy that the chair of the Ethics Commission is the one, when asked for a statement from the Ethics Commission, it usually comes from the chair. So that in and of itself, kind of to your point earlier, was that even also was part of the quote-unquote plan, to the extent we get a request for a comment from the commission, the chair is our number one person that we reach out to as part
who,
of that.
Who, unless there, I mean, if there's a sworn complaint,
right,
we can talk
but,
about it.
So. Yeah, but if there's a situation where someone is requesting a quote, they are in a position to provide a quote legally, that it is, our plan is that the ethics office would reach out and coordinate anything with the chair.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that's consistent so that everyone knows that's kind of our general policy. And I think that's what y'all have been doing.
Yes.
Good to know.
It's
yeah,
Kirby,
we kind of
fleshed
out the plan.
That's
yeah,
there's
a
plan.
Okay,
Jeff.
Well, I know that we're left with a hanging question. Is there anything else that we'd like to include that is not in the discussed or is included here? I'm not sure we're going to get to closure on that today, but I think there's some. I think we need some good work here, organizing things. Any other comments before we move on? No other comments?
If I may, before taking public comment, since you're at the start of a new year, you might reconsider committee assignments. And typically that's been a function of the chair, and the office would reach out to the various members of the commission and ask for your preferences for your committee service, and then we would relay those references to the chair, and they would grade committee assignments, and we would bring them back to you. So that's on the radar, but you also have reviewing your committee structure, so I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but you will need to establish some committees so some of your work can start being done, and there. So food for thought, maybe how you might want to proceed on that.
These are things that could be done after the meeting, though. We don't need to do anything today on that, do we?
No, we don't need to do anything today.
So
I just didn't know.
At our next meeting, we should take those for action, essentially. Or certainly ask everyone for their desires in between now and then.
I guess what I'm doubtfully asking is clarification for whether or not you want the office to do that in light of the fact you might review your committee structure and change it.
I know it's probably a complex task, and it's a big ask to ask you guys to do that, but I don't know yet that we are, I mean, how likely are we to change our committee structure in the next couple of months?
It could be the end of the year before we actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think we should go ahead and proceed.
Okay, perfect.
With committee assignments.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Well, and since this is a notice meeting, you could always, if there's anyone here who wants to identify particular areas that they are interested in based off of the strategic planning conversation, you could certainly volunteer at this time, which would also help you and us to decide what may be the appropriate committees for them.
I mean, I was thinking I'd like to stay where I am. I'm on the legislative and the plans committee. Yes, I am. I am all those things. I like to stay there.
I'll see Geneva.
Okay. But I'll also respond.
We're not trying to put you on the spot. I just thought that was something you can discuss because you're in an interest meeting and if you have thoughts, you could really come now instead of waiting until later.
I'll also respond to the survey as well.
I do have a question. As chair, am I in the same committees that I was on previously as vice chair?
So typically the chair doesn't serve on any committees because you're committing the whole, so to speak, yeah.
All right, thank you. Then I think if everyone is agreed and there's no further comment, let's proceed to public comment. Mr. Newty.
Now, if I may, so you can't see me on this. And I'll explain why. You know, when you're talking about ethics, and as we just shared,
Mr. Newney, Mr. Newney,
you're eating into your time. Why don't you turn it one way and then go ahead and begin?
It's just audio.
I mean, sorry. All right. I'm John J. Newney, Jacksonville City Council Resolution 2023-0819. Active JSO trespass citation.
Mr. Newney.
2024-05-71349, Jacksonville University, 2024-0107. I was at the Tree Commission meeting. You know, when you want to talk about, you know, the destruction of public records, I'm telling you, it's back in the day, boards and commissions. You had people that would show up at the boards and commissions to see that compliance was being followed, not just OGC. So the checks and balances are gone. On the Charter Revision Commission, I participated in school. I was back in the Charter Revision Commission. Wyman Duggan was the chair. At that commission, we got ethics put back in. 10 years later, Lindsey Brock was the chair of the Charter Revision Commission. In that 10-year period, ethics was taken out, it was crushed. And there used to be, 2014, 769, 2015, 765. Public participation, 2017, 160. It was Carl Miller at our last meeting who just informed everybody, really, that it was Jason Gabriel, an interpretation by OGC that removed public participation. And before my time runs out, I just want to share with you, I just went to the Northeast Florida Regional Council of 7 counties. I want this to be part, I put right here, Ethics Commission. So this was initially introduced 2 years ago. 2 years ago. And don't worry, you'll be able to see it. But I went to their board meeting, January 9th, 2025. So 2 years later, this is how, you want to talk about doing stuff. But that's 7 counties. And God bless them. I'll be taking the show on the road because you go to other counties, they go out of their way before a vote is taken Is there anyone that has a comment? That doesn't happen. Public participation has been crushed throughout the Jacksonville City Council Legislative Committee process. When you put me on the stand, I'll show you. I'll show a lot of people. But right now, like I said, you know, just even the Tree Commission meeting today, you know what? OGC, I had to share with them. And fortunately, there was another person that wanted to speak. So they really straightened right up.
Mr. Newton, you've had 3 minutes to speak to the commission about the strategic planning issues they've been doing tonight.
Well,
thank you, Mr. Newton. I'm afraid your time is up.
No, Mr. Newton, if these documents do not have anything to do with this commission, we're not accepting them.
This is ethic. Every document should have.
Not every document has to do with what this commission is doing.
It does. You know, it truly does. I mean, that's part of. I don't. Okay. That doesn't make any sense to me, personally. I would think any document that you submit that would just show a pattern of abuse and neglect.
There's a process whereby which we have a complaint process. You're going to have to follow that process. Just simply handing documents to the commission is not going to be the method by which you deal with that.
Well, this is the ethics committee.
And there are processes by which they would look at whether there are complaints or referrals. We just can't take in just complaints like this. You will have to follow the complaint process.
I'm just submitting it for the record. That's all. It's not a pile of. So where would you go to question?
And to the commission, I just want you to understand, and these may not be the same documents. Mr. Rooney has previously walked up to city council staff and said, "Will you please take my trespass warning and put it in your files?" It's not our job to preserve random documents about trespass warnings or other documents that are unrelated to the committees and the commissions, but whereby which he is testifying in front of. I would just want to make sure that there are appropriate documents that are for this commission.
Now, as far as that trespass, I just read that into the record. That's all I did.
Mr. Newby, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. But we are not able to accept those documents.
Well, this is my public comment. At least that has to be permanent.
I think it is because you spoke it.
Okay, we'll take your public comment.
Thank you.
But
are there any announcements?
No, unless you want to schedule your next meeting here, or we can do it through email, whatever your preference is.
I think it would be better to do it through email.
Okay, understood.
Then if that's the case, this meeting is adjourned.
All right, thank you.